A debate is underway in Washington over the future of American radio and television broadcasts to communist Cuba. Radio Martí transmitted its first program to the island in May 1985 from its studios in Washington, D.C. Now, 17 years later, the service is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there's also a television station, TV Martí, which began broadcasting in 1990.
Those behind Radio and TV Martí claim they provide a vital source of unbiased news and information to the Cuban people. But critics say they're ineffective and a waste of money. U.S. lawmakers recently held hearings on Capitol Hill into the issue of broadcasts to Cuba. Steve Mort reports from Washington on a subject that's inflaming passions on both sides of the debate.
Radio Martí les ofrece Cuba sin fronteras.
Radio Martí, now broadcasting a mix of news, music, features and analysis from its studios in Miami, is virtually the only source of information available to Cubans other than official government broadcasts. The station employs 108 people and its budget this year is $15 million.
After Radio Martí, there's more information. Cubans know more about what's happening in the world. They know more about their own government and their own lack of freedoms.
Joe O'Connell is the Director of External Affairs for the U.S. government's International Broadcasting Bureau, which was established when President Clinton signed the International Broadcasting Act of 1994. The Bureau oversees the day-to-day operations of Radio and TV Martí. O'Connell says the services have broad but important goals.
I think the principal objectives of Radio and TV Martí are to provide the people of Cuba with uncensored, straight information about Cuba itself and about Cuba in the world and about the United States and about the larger world, to sort of reach over the Cuban government and try to reach the people of Cuba directly, particularly with our support of freedom and democracy on the island.
Radio Martí was the result of 3 years of bipartisan efforts in the U.S. Congress that resulted in the Radio Broadcasting to Cuba Act of 1983.
Aquí, Radio Martí, servicio de información para Cuba, transmitiendo desde Miami, Estados Unidos.
Now, having moved its operations from Washington to Miami, it broadcasts hourly newscasts in Spanish and even transmits President Bush's weekly radio addresses. Supporters say it's not just a source of objective information, but also a lifeline for the people of Cuba. Ambassador Dennis Hayes is the executive vice president of the Cuban American National Foundation and a former coordinator for Cuban affairs at the State Department. He says Radio and TV Martí could potentially do even more than just provide news to the island.
One thing that we're very concerned about, obviously, is that there might be another wave of migration. And we know from previous times that there's great loss of life when that happens. People push out on the rafts in bad weather and very flimsily constructed boats. So, again, being able to get a message in and tell people accurate, timely information can save lives in addition to helping to move things forward through the transition.
In 1990, the Office of Cuba Broadcasting was established, and with it, TV Martí. And it's the television operation that's attracted the most criticism. The government of Fidel Castro spends millions of dollars a year jamming the signals of Radio and TV Martí in order to prevent people seeing them. This has prompted claims that the U.S. is throwing money down the drain, nearly $10 million this year in the case of TV Martí, paying for a service that nobody sees.
We've spent over $150 million on television Martí, and there's no evidence that any Cuban has ever watched a minute of it.
Republican Representative for Arizona Jeff Flake, a member of the House Subcommittee on International Relations and Human Rights, which recently held a hearing on the effectiveness of broadcasts to Cuba, is one of the service's most vocal critics.
That's a huge waste of resources. Now, those who say that we ought to continue it, part of the reason they say is that if we stop, then Fidel Castro will claim victory. Now, my guess is he laughs himself to sleep every night, knowing that we're spending, you know, over $10 or $11 million a year broadcasting a signal that nobody sees. How this would give him a victory that he doesn't already have, I don't know.
But Joe O'Connell from the International Broadcasting Bureau says the fact that the Cuban government tries to block the U.S. signals proves it has something to fear.
Seguidamente les ofrecemos las noticias más destacadas de Cuba y el mundo.
Buenas tardes, son exactamente las 3 en Radio Martí.
In fact, the IBB claims Radio Martí is one of the most popular radio stations in Cuba. But that's disputed by Congressman Flake, who says the station has suffered since its move from Washington to Miami. He says at that point it effectively became a mouthpiece for the Cuban-American community. He believes the base for U.S. broadcasts to Cuba should be returned to the nation's capital.
The content is simply so bad. It's become so stridently anti-Castro. Not that anything said isn't true. It's simply that the Cubans have heard it before. They're living it. They want an unbiased source of news, and they're not getting it, and so they're tuning out.
But many say the Martí should be the voice of American public diplomacy, and an anti-Castro slant to programming is the only way to increase U.S. influence on the island. Radio Martí has also come under fire for failing to target a young audience. In fact, Congressman Flake says the station's entertainment programming alienates the younger set.
Radio Martí airs a lot of nostalgia programs for the 1950s. Most Cubans weren't born in the 1950s, and those that were that remain in Cuba don't have particularly fond memories. It wasn't exactly a wonderful regime in place. They want something better. They're looking forward, not backward.
But the station's managers, like Joe O'Connell, say things are improving. He says the director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, Salvador Lowe, is looking at ways of extending the reach of the broadcasts.
He's committed to change and to broadening the appeal of the programming. He's increased the content of news, the amount of news. He said recently that he has doubled it from 2.5 to 5 hours a day of pure news, as opposed to other kinds of public affairs programming.
With relations between the United States and Cuba very much in the public spotlight since former President Jimmy Carter's recent visit to the island, the issue of radio and TV Martí is again attracting a lot of attention in Washington. Many lawmakers are calling for money earmarked for TV Martí to be shifted to the radio station, which has a greater reach. Others are demanding a shake-up in both stations' programming, and others want both services to be scrapped. Those who run the broadcasts to Cuba say crucial changes are being made, including the introduction of new prime-time TV transmissions. For now, the government appears to believe that the broadcasts are an important part of America's public diplomacy campaign in the last communist nation in the Western Hemisphere. For Common Ground, I'm Steve Mort.